Good afternoon and welcome to Voluntary Values. I'm Daryl.
And I'm Amber Lee.
And we are here live every Sunday on LRN.FM and Liberty 94.3 if you happen to be in the Keene area.
Woohoo!
And if you're like most people listening online, you can look at our lovely faces via the webcam that's embedded on the front page of LRN.FM. And I believe Amberlee has that pulled up, and she might actually pop into chat. I'm not really sure.
I'm in the chat room right now, so if you guys want to talk to me, you know, bring it on. So first of all, we're going to start off the show with an outrageous story that I found. I cannot even believe this. This is a deaf boy's name violates weapons policy. Okay, so...
where did you get the story first?
I got the story from the TorontoSun.com. So you can find that on the TorontoSun.com. And then I guess in their search engine, put deaf boy's name violates weapons policy at school. Okay, so this little boy is deaf. All right, so a Nebraska preschool. This isn't even a regular school. This is just a preschool. This is how bad things are getting, guys. So a Nebraska preschool is asking a three-year-old deaf boy to change his name because it violates the school board's weapons policy. Hunter Spanger signs his first name by making what looks like shooting gestures with both hands. He crosses his fingers when he does it, a modification to show it's his proper name.
Yeah, I actually saw a video of this where it was a news report from wherever...
In Nebraska,
whatever, one of the local TV stations. And the sign that he uses, this is H, this is R. His name is Hunter.
Right.
So he combines the H and the R, both hands. If you're watching on cam, you
right,
can see
like this.
You know, H and R. And,
then he goes like
flips
this.
Them back and forth, both hands.
To signify his name.
Right. That's his name. That is how he says his name. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Zero tolerance means zero common sense.
So, I want your opinion. Does this look like a gun to anyone? This. Do you see this? Where he's going like this. Does this look like a gun to you? It doesn't look like a gun to me.
If you think it looks like a gun because you're a paranoid schizo and the letter L also looks like a gun, then yes, that looks
right.
like a gun. Cowboys and Indians. I remember playing, you know, like Cowboys
this
and Indians.
This is a gun in Cowboys
and
Indians. This is
bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang.
Right.
But not this where you're shaking your crossed over fingers back and forth to signify your child's name.
Right.
Good Lord.
But I do like that the National Association for the Deaf is getting involved in this case.
Yeah. I agree.
Don't like the fact that the parents are sending the child to a public school.
I don't either. I totally disagree with any person, any parent out there sending their children to public school. Just for the love of your children, don't do it.
This is just one more reason, if there aren't enough, this is one more reason not to send your children to government-run schools.
Okay, so... The Grand Island Public Schools Board says its weapons in schools policy bans any instrument that looks like a weapon. So now your fingers are instruments?
Exactly.
Holy cannoli. The school wants him to change the sign, a request Hunter's family says is both unfair and silly. So they expect this three-year-old child to change his name because the way that he crosses his fingers, because he's deaf and he uses sign language to communicate... It violates their weapons policy, which is the zero tolerance policy, by the way, has got to be one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of. When my poor son was in public schools, my mother, he spent the weekend with my mother one time, and she put a little tiny gun like this big, if you guys can see, it was just this tiny little thing on a keychain. A little keychain gun.
That you can get at any grocery store for
right, out of those little vending things where you stick your money in and it comes out in a little plastic bubble tube. So I get a call the next morning and like my son is in the principal's office and in trouble and he was suspended for the day because he had, and he was in, by the way, he was only in second grade. So he's like 7 years old. And I had to go and pick him up and take him home for the rest of the day. And they confiscated his keychain and told him he could not ever bring that back to school again because it violated the policy. It's a zero tolerance policy.
I remember one time when I was in middle school, for some reason, over a weekend, I was doing something with a Swiss Army knife, put it in the pocket of my jacket, totally forgot about it, went to school. Getting to school and then freaking out thinking that I was going to either get detention or suspended because I accidentally left this Swiss Army knife in my pocket. I had no intentions to harm anybody. I had a Swiss Army knife in my pocket. Luckily, I never got caught with it, never got suspended or anything else. But just the whole thing of, like, I was then afraid that they were going to do something to me because I accidentally had this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can't even carry anything to even protect yourself. Like, what about all these middle schools and high schools and, well, let's just say even some middle school or elementary schools in, like, many urban areas are very dangerous. So these kids can't even carry a small pocket knife right. with them to protect themselves.
There are a lot of schools in very urban areas where children have to go through metal detectors to go
right.
to class.
That's not just urban areas anymore from what I've seen, Daryl. From what I've seen, it's in rural areas now as well. At post 9/11, from some things that I've heard about from other people that have gone to school after you and I, because I graduated in 1991.
I graduated in 96.
10 years before 9/11. And I grew up in a pretty rural area in North Georgia, so we didn't really have any of those kinds of problems. I mean, the problems we had were like drinking and drug use. That was about it. No gun violence at school or even in the town, really. But now I hear that post 9/11, like schools, almost all schools now, especially high schools, have metal detectors in them that you have to walk through before you can even go into class.
Okay, so I have a question, and I know you don't have the answer. I would really love to have someone that's listening call in and discuss this with us. So if you're listening, give us a call, 603-435-1105. But my question here, if this was a child who could speak and the school just didn't like his name, would it be the same thing of, oh, you have to change your son's name?
Well,
and his name is Hunter. Hunter implies one who goes out with a weapon to kill food.
When I was tutoring children a few years ago, I had a child that came to me to be tutored, and his name was Shathid. Okay, I want you to think about the word Shathid. It's spelled Shithead.
I'm sorry, but you need to change your name because it violates decency laws.
His mother called him Shathid. So by all intents and purposes, by the pronunciation of those two words mashed together, his name was fine. But, you know, then when it came time to writing down his name, that's where the trouble started, when it was time to write down his name, because it is considered a vulgar word. Because, you know, I mean, think about it. I spelled it out for you. I don't think I have to say it.
And actually, if any FCC licensed stations were carrying this show, you would not be able to say it.
Exactly. So therefore, I'm going to refrain from saying those words.
And there's somewhat a former radio show host that many people in the Liberty community are aware of, Jamie Crane.
Love you, Jamie.
The nickname for his child is Dax.
Right.
That's what his child goes by.
He had some trouble, didn't he?
Yeah. We will not call your child Dax.
That's right. I remember seeing that.
So we'll discuss crazy things regarding public schools when we come back. You're listening to Voluntary Values.
Yeah.
And we're back on Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
And this is Emberly.
And we've been talking so far about ridiculousness with government-run public schools.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, one school in Nebraska where a three-year-old deaf boy was told, well, actually, his parents were told that he must change his name, or at least the way he says his name in sign language, because saying his name in sign language supposedly violates the weapons in school policy. And there's other ridiculousness going on with government-run public schools. Down in San Antonio, Texas, the Northside Independent School District, and I'm still curious how school districts call themselves independent when they're government-run and paid for with tax. What exactly are they independent from?
From the parents and the taxpayers. They get to do whatever they want to because, oh, they're the government.
Oh, whatever they want, like tracking children like cattle.
Exactly.
If you go,
or merchandise that comes in from all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you go to the Northside Independent School District's website, and I'm actually going to give this full website out
because
I want people to go read this for themselves. It's NISD.net. NISD as in Northside Independent School District.net /student locator.
Yeah, you've got to read this article. It's amazing.
This is not some newspaper reporting on what they think the school district is doing. This is the school district bragging about tracking children like merchandise or cattle. The Northside ISD is harnessing the power of radio frequency identification technology, or RFID, to make schools safer. Know where our students are while at school, increase revenues, and provide a general purpose smart ID card. Parents entrust us with their children and expect that we always know where their children are. This technology will help us do this.
Damn it, no more making out under the bleachers or smoking in the bathroom.
All right, you can make out under the bleachers, just leave your smart card in the classroom.
But then they're going to want to know, why is this smart card here and the student is not attached to it?
Right, that's why we need to embed the RFID chips.
Did you know about the family in Florida that did that? They were on the news a few years ago.
Yeah, they volunteered to have all of their personal data
embedded into their arms. And they did it to their children. Like their children had any choice.
Right. The pilot program is currently underway in the Northside ISD in San Antonio. The student locator project is currently being piloted at two schools. They are Jay High School and Jones Middle School, two of the 112 schools in the Northside ISD.
Wow, that's a big school district.
San Antonio is a very large city.
Yes,
there's
it is.
1.2 million in the city of San Antonio. I used to live in San Antonio. I believe there are five school districts within the
within
city.
This north side? Or is this one of the five?
This is one of the five school districts for the
city. Okay, I see. Now, I wonder why they haven't piloted an elementary school along with the high school and middle school. That seems a little odd. I mean, what the instances of your elementary school child getting lost
are much higher.
Are much higher than a middle school or high school student. So what is this really about? Is it really about student safety? Because if it was, wouldn't they be doing this at the elementary school level?
Well, and if it was really about student safety, would they not implement it at all schools at the same time?
That's true. They should. If that's what they're mostly concerned about. But I don't think that that's what they're concerned about at all.
It also says they want to increase revenue.
Oh, my. Increase
revenue.
Where do I see this?
Make it safer. Make safer schools. Know where students are while at school. Increase revenue and provide a general purpose smart car.
Oh, okay. That's up at the top in the giant red letters.
Yes.
Increase. How did I miss that one? How are they going to increase revenues? Are they going to charge people if they're not in the right? So what are they going to charge kids for not being in the right place at the right time? Or if they don't make it to their classroom on time, they're going to start charging them? How are they going to increase revenues? Do they even say?
I do not believe they say. However, I do know that certain school districts, the way they allocate funding is based on student attendance.
Right. That's why they harp on attendance so much, right. And they give out these meaningless, you know, attendance awards to kids.
Perfect attendance.
You got woohoo! You got perfect attendance for coming to school every single day, like a good status child should.
I remember my senior year of high school. My school started a thing to encourage attendance. If you attended every day and you had at least a D average,
this is how they will increase revenues. It says it right here, to increase attendance.
Yeah. To encourage attendance. They were waiving the requirement to take the final exams if you attended every day and had either a D or a C in the class.
So you didn't have to take the final exam. Are you kidding me?
I'm being serious.
That you could have a C or a D, which is, C is average, so I guess that's okay.
As long as you had a passing grade.
So I guess a D is passing, because when I was in school, a D was like, you did not get a D, you had to take the class over again.
No, a D is passing.
My parents would have skinned me alive. My parents would have skinned me alive if I had to come home with a D or a C.
If you had a passing grade and you came to school every day, you did not have to take your final exams.
Wow. I wanted to go to that school. Why couldn't I go to that school? I hated taking final exams.
And
of course, I didn't like showing up to school every day either.
My senior year, there was only one exam that I actually had to take. And it was because I had to miss that class twice due to extenuating circumstances. One day I got extremely sick and I was forced to go home. And another day a friend of mine had passed away and I had to leave early to go to a funeral.
Well, but that's sad. I'm sorry to hear that.
I also had to take the exam because I had an F, and the teacher made sure that everyone got the grade that they needed to pass.
Nice.
Yeah. So I literally did not know until the day before graduation if I was going to graduate.
Wow.
Because of this one required class.
Wow. Well, on here, the school district has said, this Northside Independent School District has stated three goals that they have for this pilot program, and they are to increase student safety and security. It says, our students' parents expect that we always know where their children are in our schools. Big Brother is watching you. To increase attendance, this is to increase state revenues, because the more kids are in the chairs at the school, the more money they get.
And also to be able to identify students who are not in their seats during roll calls.
Right.
But who are in the school. That way we can know you're up under the bleachers.
And they also they're going to use this to provide access to the library and cafeteria, serve as a photo ID, and allow for the purchase of tickets to school's extracurricular activities. Other uses will be rolled out during the pilot program.
And we'll continue talking about this and much more on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And Serena.
And we've been talking about the craziness that is government schools and the weapons policy violations by deaf children who are just trying to say their name, and school districts that are treating your children as if they are nothing more than bulk merchandise at Walmart
by giving it more obvious
RFID smart cards.
Exactly.
So they can track where your children are and attempt to increase revenue by
making sure they're there.
I like my sheeple in categories.
Compelling attendance to get more taxpayer funding. And we have a caller. Emberly, you actually know this gentleman.
This is Clayton Gee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Emberly.
Hey, hey girl. You're on with Emberly, Daryl, and Serena. So you wanted to talk about your experience in public school.
Yeah, of course we know public schools are just there to make us all obedient little workers, including drugging the kids to make them compliant.
Exactly.
My story is when I was 8 years old, they decided to throw me on Ritalin, which many of you know is a drug for attention deficit disorder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 8 years old to 16 years old, I was on a chemically induced state, cycling through, I believe, over 100 medications over that course of time.
Wow.
And eventually leading to me attempting suicide.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that this is something that happens to a lot of kids, but that no one ever talks about. I know that I have a cousin who is on ADHD medication. I'm not sure exactly which one it is at this point. He's been on a lot of different ones, but that he doesn't even eat. Like, he can't sleep or eat when he's on this medication.
It sounds like he's probably on Wellbutrin. I remember that one being up till 4 a.m. in the morning rearranging furniture.
Yeah, that's the one that they pimped out a few years ago to help people quit smoking.
I saw a documentary a few years ago about the psychotropic drugs.
And,
you know, especially the ones for, you know, the ADD or all of these weird disorders that they just sort of come up with, like the seasonal adjustment disorder or what?
Affective disorder. Sad.
If you're sad, you need a pill. And people that have no history ever of being suicidal or attempting suicide, they go on these pills for just short periods of time and then wind up killing themselves.
I just watched it when I was in Philly. Nick Shankin showed me a great documentary, which I cannot for the life of me remember the name of at the moment, but it was on the pharmaceutical industry, Big Pharma. And they went through some of the drugs that the FDA has approved that have caused over the last few years people to commit suicide. And there's quite a few of people who have died from some of these psychotropic drugs. Lots of people. They just don't tell you about. They don't talk about it because it's bad for business.
Does that seem to be your experience, Colin?
Clayton.
Yeah, actually, it feels like you're not even yourself. You are somebody else that they want you to be, and you have no control over your own life. Mm-hmm. And that loss of control just makes you feel worthless. It makes you feel like there's nothing you can do, so you go for the last resort, which is the end of all. Even talking about, you know, Prozac used to be a big medication, and they kept saying, no, it doesn't cause suicidal tendencies. Well, one of the requirements when they release a new version of a drug is to list the improvements upon it, and one of the improvements is causes less suicidal tendencies.
Less?
Yes, less suicidal tendencies. It's a horrible game out there for them.
They change words around. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, and Big Pharma also, they create pills and then find things that it can cure or treat.
They don't always know what a drug is going to be useful for. They make it for one specific problem. It doesn't do anything for that, but then they notice that, oh, it has all these other effects that help with these other diseases or states of mind or whatever.
Rogaine, I believe, was a pill originally, I think it was for either erectile dysfunction or a heart medication, but the primary side effect was it helped people grow hair. So they pulled out whatever the first active ingredient.
You poor guys who need hair.
And then they marketed this stuff as will help you regrow hair because that was the primary side effect.
Oh, by the way, if you guys want to disagree with the Northside Independent School District, they have a phone number here that you can call for that school, for that specific school district. It's 210-397-8500. Again, that number for that Northside Independent School District is 210-397-8500. I suggest calling them and protesting. There should be a call flood made to call this school district and tell them we disagree with, you know, cataloging our children in any place in the world.
What do you think, Clayton?
If I remember correctly, San Antonio was talking about doing some similar things.
That's in San Antonio.
It's their premier school district. It's not just one of the school districts. It's the premier.
Ooh. Special.
Well, Clayton, I know that you had a rough time in school, and yes, you know, these drugs did push you to attempt suicide, but thankfully you didn't, because you have turned out to be one of the most prolific graphic artists that I've come across in the Liberty movement here. And I know that you've gotten involved with Peaceful Streets Project out with Antonio Bueller in Austin. That's where you reside, in Austin, Texas, I believe.
Yes, I actually just moved here, and thank you for that, Em. I actually did get close to attempting suicide. They had to pump my stomach.
Oh, my goodness.
3 days later after being in a coma. But, no, it's what they force upon kids is an absolute horrible thing, and I'm still just trying to figure out who I am.
Well, how long have you been off the medication?
Well, let's see. I attempted when I was 16. I'm 24 now, so about 8 years. And I still have memory blackouts and such. The side effects will be with me the rest of my life. But it's something I got to deal with.
Well, I had a similar experience in my early 20s when I was put on a medication after suffering an assault. I was put on some medication to try to help me deal with that problem, and I ended up attempting suicide as well. And this is just after 2 weeks of taking this medication. It messed with my brain chemistry so badly that I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know my own name after 2 weeks. So we really have to be careful about what kind of drugs we're taking and what we're doing to ourselves. And I was under doctor's prescription orders. I mean, I had a doctor who I'd been seeing for years who finally persuaded me to take this medication. And ever since then, I won't ever take any kind of medication like that again.
There are certain diseases and problems in which I would much rather take herbs that mm-hmm. are not FDA approved.
Right.
Yeah, mostly they're replacing herbs that already exist anyway and acting as though, oh, there's not enough of those for you guys. We're going to have to produce our own chemicals. And yeah, there's alternatives all the time.
Was there anything else you wanted to share with us, Clayton?
Well, my last real comment is actually I was on 7 different medications at the time that I attempted suicide.
Oh, wow. And,
It's not really even medicine. It's not to help treat anything or get work on the root cause. It's to cover up
symptom attacking.
Right.
Well, which is what a lot of government is good at, is just trying to cover up what it's created and trying to distract people from what the real problem is.
Right. I think that's the point of most medications, is not to cure the problem.
It's
to mask the problem.
No one's going to keep buying your product if it works, if it actually works forever. I mean, maybe it'll suggest it to many people in the population, but those people, even if everybody tried it, it would die out some
thank point. You for calling in, Clayton, and I will discuss some more of your artwork in a little bit after the break. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, and y'all have a good one.
You too.
Thanks. This is Voluntary Values. We'll be back momentarily. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM and Liberty 94.3, your Liberty radio station on the FM dial in Keene, New Hampshire. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And Serena.
And we've been talking so far about government-run schools, the lack of common sense related to
tolerance policies.
Zero tolerance. Yeah, I almost said zero aggression, but government-run schools are aggression.
Nothing but aggression.
Zero tolerance equals zero common sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Schools tracking children like cattle and then basically drugging children until they become zombies.
And Clayton wanted me to mention that prescription drug use is the third largest killer in the United States.
I'm curious what the first two. I'm fairly certain that heart disease is
Heart disease is number one, and then I would say maybe cancer is second, like you said a minute ago. That sounds about right.
And all those things can be basically totally helped by eating right and thinking positively and productively.
And drinking clean water, breathing in fresh, clean air, and eating good, healthy food.
Yeah, valuing yourself and treating yourself right.
Well, valuing yourself and treating yourself right is basically one of the tenets of libertarian philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
You know, there are a lot of people that call themselves libertarian that are basically libertine of do whatever you want.
Libertine as in the hedonist.
As long as you don't actually, violate anyone's right. I can bend the rules just a little bit.
Libertines do not, they are aggressive and coercive. What you're thinking of are hedonists, who are peaceful people who are out for pleasure at no cost to anyone else, but pure unadulterated pleasure.
Well, there are some people that call themselves libertarian that are,
by the way, I love hedonists.
Very passive aggressive. And, they will use verbal aggression to get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Libertines will, and some libertarians do that, too. I've run into quite a few libertarians that use verbal aggression to try to kowtow people into believing what they believe.
Verbal aggression is aggression.
Right. Verbal is no less. It's still aggression. Yeah. I agree. Well, I want to give a shout out to my friend Clayton Gee, who just called in, because he is he's a prolific graphic artist. And if you are watching, if you're watching the webcam, you'll see the CopBlock banner over here on the wall. Woo-hoo. That says badges don't grant extra rights. Clayton designed that. That's his design. So if you are a liberty oriented group and you need artwork, contact Clayton Gee. He's on Facebook. You can find him. He's one of my friends. If he's not one of your friends, friend him today. He's a wonderful, wonderful person.
I've seen some of his artwork, and it is amazing.
Yes, he does some really great stuff. Really, really great stuff.
And Serena, I believe you wanted to talk about something involving how you became a voluntarist through optimism?
Well, it's more just using positive thinking in a, like, there are a lot of people in this world who think that if you are an optimist, then you just dream all the time, and then if you're a pessimist, then you get things done. But there's things like between. You can use, I don't think this is working out, and like you use your gut more than you use trying to reach out to the outside world to find out where to go, like what to do. Because sometimes people think that you need structure, like to work under somebody else or to, get instructions from somewhere else that has done it before or whatever. And kind of like not think for yourself in a way. Some people feel secure in knowing that there's somebody who knows more about things helping them along the way. Or there could be a person who decides to kind of have a dream and not get pissy from not succeeding right away when they expected to, and further looking to how do I explain this?
So basically, it seems what you're saying is don't be the optimist of no, the glass is half full. Don't be the pessimist that says the glass is half empty. Just be, hey, that's water and I'm thirsty.
Monitor what's going on in your life. Yeah, think. I mean, if this is affecting you negatively, you don't want it to happen again versus you want to stew on it until your brain hurts. You know, I mean, it's not going to do anything if you keep thinking negatively. Going backwards is not going forwards.
Right. You should always go forward if at all possible.
And lots of schools and stuff with rules and stuff, you... All right. What was I saying?
That's okay.
Sorry.
So
there's not opportunity listed. You can't list every opportunity. You have to list the rules. So, I mean, you could go on and on about what opportunities you could have with life, but there are things that you shouldn't do. And people think, well, as long as I just don't do all those bad things, I'll be fine.
Okay.
You know,
we have...
sorry.
We have a caller, one of the LRN co-hosts from Ladies in Keene. Cecilia Freechild, you are on Voluntary Values with Daryl Emberly and Serena. What's on your
mind? Hello, Daryl Emberly and Serena.
Hello,
how are
Cecilia.
You all today?
Pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was calling in because I'm listening, obviously, and just heard a little bit about how you agree that Emberly and Daryl agree that verbal aggression is aggression. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a bad connection, man. That's why I was asking. I would like clarification on that because I think, like, verbal threatening someone, that is aggression. But if you're using words, not threatening someone, but your words make them uncomfortable or cause them to react in a certain way because that's how their chemistry in their head works, I don't think that's aggression. Just necessarily saying something that someone else doesn't agree with or that they don't particularly like, I don't think that's aggression. But someone threatening someone else, that's aggression.
Well, you can threaten with your tone of voice no matter what words you're saying. You could use a tone that is threatening and saying the sweetest, most loving things in the world, like, I love you. That can be threatening. I mean, if somebody were to scream that at me, I don't think like I would feel. And of course, I'm not saying that in an angry tone because I'm not angry at the moment. So it's kind of hard
someone
to fake an angry tone.
You'd think that was aggression?
I would take that. Yeah, I would say that I would feel a little bit aggressed upon. I would feel like they're communicating to me things that, you know, I might not want to hear or I might not want to be a part of. And there's a way to talk to people and there's a way not to.
Well, when I say that verbal aggression can be aggression, let's just suppose that me and you were talking, Cecilia, and you start, you know, basically verbally bullying me. Telling me I'm no good, I'm a loser, blah, blah, blah. And I say, hey, Cecilia, can you drop it? And if you keep on,
right,
then you're intentionally antagonizing me. And that is definitely verbal aggression.
I'm not forcing you to stand there and listen to me. Of course, I would never call you a loser, bully you. That's the kind of person I am. But, I mean, you always have that option to walk away. You're not being forced.
Right, and
to be
you also have the
There's
option
no
to.
Coercion in there.
You also have the option to follow me around and continue harping on what I am trying to get away from.
Words can be painful.
You're right, and words can hurt people.
Words can hurt people, but I think people are responsible for their own feelings and their own emotions. If, you know, say, Daryl, if the opposite was reversed, that you were saying those things to me, I asked you nicely not to do it. You followed me or whatever. I chose to walk away.
If you asked me not to say something, I would not say it.
But I wouldn't say that you were threatening me or you were harming me or trying to coerce me into a reaction or whatever. I wouldn't say that's aggression. I would say it's probably rude and uncalled for.
Well, you have the responsibility of how you react to a situation, but that doesn't mean that the person who is screaming at you or following you around, talking to you against your will, is not verbally aggressing. That is verbal aggression. I mean, of course, you have the responsibility to react in the way that you feel is the best way to do it, but that doesn't negate the fact that they're verbally aggressing against you.
I think verbal aggression is a touchy kind of subject because there's a lot of context and it's very situational, like what's being said, how it's being said, what the actual context of the situation is. And I think to blanket statement and say that verbal aggression is aggression, I believe it can be and it can be. It depends on the context, it depends on the situation.
Hey,
and
Cecilia,
it's something that you can blanket.
Cecilia, this segment is almost over. We're going to put you on hold. This is Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And this is Serena.
And Serena is the giggly voice you heard coming out of the top of the news. If you're not listening on LRN, Or if you're listening at a later date other than live Sundays 3 to 5 p.m., then you did not just hear the Onion news segment about...
Which was hilarious. We're all giggling.
The supposed French King John II who said, history will remember these famous people, but what about me? I did stuff too. So... We all had a good laugh and had to compose ourselves very quickly to
not
bring you this
well.
High quality radio show on LRN.
So Serena came onto the show to talk about rational optimism and some of the effects that that has in our lives. So what else do you have for us, Serena?
Using your creative energy, we all have it. I think that schools have made people insecure in those their ideas. Let's just see. Eating healthy and thinking positively go hand in hand, because if you're eating and with a thought of nurturing versus just stuffing yourself because your stomach is not full enough, you'll have more positive thoughts. And don't think that you need to do a bunch of pharmaceutical drugs just because you're not in a good mood. You could probably find something food-related that'll give you a natural energy,
or
if not a green tea, or music, or anything that makes you happy. You have the right to be happy
exactly.
as often as possible, and you don't have to downsize yourself in order to seem like you know what you're talking about. And that was something I had to learn the hard way with a lot of people hating
food
my optimism.
Food does influence the way that you feel a lot of times. I mean, I could eat something and, like, say, for instance, if I were to go out as a vegetarian and have a hamburger. Like, maybe I crave that hamburger and I really wanted it, but it's against everything that I believe in. But I just don't care. I go out and I get one and I eat one, which I have done, by the way. So I'm being completely honest here.
I've witnessed it.
I felt like crap afterwards. Not only physically, because my body is not used to eating junk like that, but mentally, my whole thought pattern was I just ate a freaking hamburger and... yuck.
Yeah.
And now I feel like crap. So now my brain registers that I'm feeling like crap. And so now my brain is sending out signals to the rest of my body that, yes, I feel like crap and my mood goes to tank.
It's everything you take in, though. Everything in life, it's the same, you know, not just
right.
food.
Nasty television shows and the bad
Any television
news
shows.
can make you feel bad.
Yep,
all right,
TV's
so
a drug.
For anyone that is not aware of your vegetarianism, you're a recently converted vegan who became a vegetarian.
Yes.
And you are not opposed morally to killing animals because you wear leather.
I do wear leather. So I'm not opposed to killing animals, no.
So you're a vegetarian.
As long as we use them properly.
For health reasons, more so than
right.
for moral
well,
reasons.
Consumeristic mindsets are never a good thing, whether it's buying meat or something else.
Yeah. Right. Well, I grew up vegetarian, so it wasn't that big. I've never really liked the taste of meat. For me, it really wasn't that. I mean, I've tried it. It's okay, but it didn't float my boat. It wasn't anything that I really liked. I much prefer vegetables and fruits and grains, much more. And maybe that's a product of how I grew up, though.
Okay.
So that's more to do with it. But it is for health reasons, too, that I do prefer vegetables as well. So...
yeah,
but
I'm
not opposed
just
to people
to try clearing that up.
But I'm not opposed to people, you know, eating animals. I'm not at all. If that's what you want to do, as I think that getting stuff from the grocery store, especially if you're eating ground beef from the grocery store, is probably one of the unhealthiest.
Anything you get
possibly the unhealthiest thing that you could possibly do to your entire body, because that stuff is disgusting, and it comes from like 10 different cows or maybe even 50 and. God only knows where that came from.
Or it's that added
like eating
stuff
hot
to make
dogs.
The meat red.
I, every time I see a person eat a hot dog, I want to vomit. It's just disgusting. It's when I think about what's in that, it just makes me physically ill. Or spam.
What is that noise that is coming out of your mouth, Serena?
She's mimicking my vomiting.
Disgust.
I thought she was belching.
At first, I thought that's what she was
oh,
doing.
Oh, that's not my belch.
All right. So what else have you got for us, Serena?
putting, okay, let's see. Making a living without feeling like you need to have people breathing down your neck negatively all the time is a good thing to think about, because when you teach, having a positive mindset, that's also all I've been really saying over and over again. It's everywhere. You can look at positives in everything. If you're having a crappy day, you don't have to feel crappy. You can trick your brain. and these are things that can help you remember that you don't have to be institutionalized as well, and that you don't have to, you really don't have to look to the outside minus researching on your own. You don't have to go through a bunch of school systems to get to be successful.
No, that's very true.
You don't have to go hard on yourself for it.
And then in Monday's episode, tomorrow night's episode of Shire TV is all about, is a back to school special, and where we discuss radical ideas like unschooling and uncollege and autodidactism, where mm-hmm. you don't need to go to a formal school in order to learn. You have all the tools that you need. If you have internet access or a library anywhere near you or a friend who has internet access and a computer, you don't really need anything else. You can get books. You can do everything.
You don't even need the internet.
That's true.
Leonardo da Vinci is probably one of the greatest minds to have ever lived.
Yep. Maintain a childlike mindset.
And he did not have the interwebs to Google things to learn what other people thought.
No.
Well, that's true.
He was a self-taught. He would dissect animals and draw them in detail. I've seen Da Vinci's notebooks on exhibit, and they are amazing thing I've ever seen.
I was trying to keep it more centered to today's children and today's society, you know, where most people, I would say the vast majority, especially of Americans, have access to the internet.
Gutenberg
in one way or
did
another.
Not have to Google instructions for building a press.
Okay. Oh, so we got here from other people who did not have the internet.
You
as
didn't
Daryl,
build that.
As Daryl is very much pointing out to me, like, I didn't know that already. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as the internet that I knew of. We didn't have
computers.
You
also walked uphill both ways to school in 5 feet of snow.
Yes, I'm so ancient.
Oh, one more thing. It's
Speaking of School Sucks Project, I've contacted Brett Vinoit, the host of the School Sucks Project podcast, and I would love to have him come on the show and
discuss. Yeah, I think he'd be a great guest.
Unschooling and the ideas of,
we did feature a great video of his, which will be on Shire TV tomorrow night. So make sure if you live in Cheshire County that you watch Shire TV on Cheshire TV.
This could also be found on YouTube.
It's also on YouTube under Freekeen TV, I believe. And it'll be uploaded tomorrow to the website shiretv.wordpress.com.
All right, so what did you have, Serena?
There is no secret ingredient to success. You don't have to sit in a school building all day to figure out what the secret ingredient to getting ahead is. There's no such thing. It's in your noggin somewhere, but it's not a secret. You're very capable of finding it. That's basically it.
And I forget, I think it was Thomas Edison, it might have been Henry Ford, that said,
Henry Ford,
success is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
So
you could have all the brilliant ideas in the world, but if you never
do anything with
to
them,
go forward with them,
you'll never have anything.
I've got this brilliant idea. Sure would like to do something with it. I've got this brilliant idea. But you never get off the couch, then you will never succeed.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Success, it's defined different ways by many different people.
But then, that's right. What one man's success is not another man's, that's for sure. Right.
With me, I do take a long time to perfect my ideas to think that they're ready to get into production. So I've had beaten myself up thinking I was like that. But when I realized there's no secret ingredient, I knew who I really was.
We'll talk more about this in the next segment. Segment on voluntary values. You're listening to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And this is Serena.
And we've been talking about becoming successful without having the worry of a boss breathing down your neck.
Right.
And negativity.
And negativity.
And Serena,
you had a quote you wanted to share.
It is a Swedish proverb. It says, "Worry gives a small thing a big shadow."
Wow, how true is that?
They train you to worry
it's
about
kind
every
of
detail.
Like, right, it's kind of like that old saying, making a mountain out of a molehill.
Right.
It's kind of the same deal where you're blowing it up into this huge thing. And I am, guilty of doing that. I've done that plenty of times. I tend to get overwhelmed when things, don't go exactly to plan. Because I'm a planner and I plan out pretty much every aspect of my life. And when they don't go that way.
I'm very much a go with the flow guy.
See, I'm working on becoming more of a go with the flow person, but it is against everything that I've ever been. So it's a very difficult process.
I go from either extreme
or
nuts.
Are you one of these people where if you want ice cream at night, you have to write it in your planner the day before of tomorrow at 11:15 I get to eat ice cream.
I used to be like that. Yes, I used to be like that. However, I am not exactly that bad anymore. I've chilled out a little bit since then.
Okay.
In the last few years, I don't write down exact. I used to write down everything that I was going to do every minute of every day, including bathroom breaks and shower and exactly how long I was going to take a shower and if I was going to wash my hair or not. Oh, I used to be very bad.
Okay, and during the last segment, I promised to share something. It's 12 things successful people do differently.
Nice.
And each one of us violate at least one of these.
Yay. And I'm sure Daryl's going to point out which ones we violate.
I'll probably point out the ones I violate before I point out the ones that either of you violate. And if you're listening,
let's just do all three.
If you agree, disagree, whatever, give us a call, 603-435-1105. So 12 things successful people do differently. Number one, they create and pursue SMART goals.
We all
do that. They take decisive and immediate action.
Okay, I'm not quite there
over
yet.
Here.
sometimes it takes me a while to act.
Yep.
I have a tendency at times to overanalyze things.
Me too. Mm. I think as libertarians, we're all guilty of that.
Living in our brains a lot.
Living in our brains too much.
They focus on being productive, not being busy.
Ah, that's a good one. I like that. There is a distinction.
Punctuality is the virtue of the bored. I don't remember who said that, but similar.
Successful people make logical, informed decisions. I believe that we all strive to do that.
Yeah, at least strive. We don't always succeed, but we do strive.
But you get back up. You don't fail till you give up.
They avoid the trap of trying to make things perfect.
Oh, I violate that one.
That's why half my creations haven't been created in physical form.
They work outside of their comfort zone.
Okay, I'm bad about that one too.
Everything's
out of my comfort zone.
I have done so many things that are out of my comfort zone.
Well, I'm starting to.
I worked on a farm for a year and a half.
Wow.
I was a prison guard for 8 months.
Yikes.
I worked in a car wash.
Well, I'm producing a television show, which I've had no experience doing, and just kind of jumped in there and did it
very well. I'm surprised that you still have hair after last week.
Well, it is going.
I swear that you were going to pull it out of your head, as frantic as you were.
I'm always frantic. Right before the show, through the show, and I can finally breathe at like 7:45.
I think your energy rubbed off on me because of my nerves over there. I could feel it.
Number seven on the list, number six being successful people work outside of their comfort zone. Number seven, they keep things simple. And this, or at least the way I'm analyzing this, and maybe it's me simplifying things. Number seven and number five seem to go hand in hand.
Remind us what number five was?
Number five was avoiding the trap of trying to make things perfect. And number seven, keeping things simple.
Very similar to all positive.
They're similar, but there are differences. Like when it comes to perfection, like making sure.
I just said that they go hand in hand, not that they were the same thing.
Sorry. I misheard.
Okay.
Which I'm good at.
Successful people focus on small, continuous improvements.
Mm.
So instead of... All right, let's say that we're going to build widgets, because widget is always that wonderful
go-to product.
Fictitious product that you make during your high school class on, all right, we're building a business and we're making widgets. All right, so we're making widgets. The first widget doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be simple and work. And then we can always make widget 2.0.
Right.
And then widget 3.0. And that's why Apple now has like iPhone 475 that came out a week and a half after Apple 2.
Technologic.
So a little pessimistic about Apple, are you?
Focus on small continuous improvements. Successful people measure and track their progress.
Mm.
I'm bad about doing that one.
No, I do that one.
I'm bad. Like, I'll get really focused and start tracking things and then just sort of lose track because I get bored easily and my little choo-choo train inside my head goes off track.
You know, I used to do that,
too. Then I forget why I went into the kitchen.
Right. I used to be like that, too, but I bought a whiteboard and I put it in a centrally local area in my home. And so I use that to help remind myself of things that I have to do.
I think there are 3 or 4 whiteboards where I live, and most of them are currently blank.
Well, use what you got there, Daryl. You got to be able to use it, not just let them hang out there in space.
Number 9 being measure and track progress. Number 10, successful people maintain a positive outlook as they learn from mistakes.
That's a good one.
Learn from mistakes.
Yeah, it's what you have to do. Walk over the boulders in your way.
Don't like put them behind you and then put them back in front of you again every time you feel like it. Like, well, it's just going to cause problems.
I have a tendency at time to, instead of learning from my mistake and maintaining that positive attitude of, all right, well, I learned this mistake and I'm going to make sure I don't do it again. But then I get sort of down on myself.
Right, me too.
Because I made the mistake.
Right. Instead of just learning what you can from it, you tend, and I'm guilty of this every now and then, feeling like I should have been able to do that perfect the first time. And why wasn't I able to do it right?
Well, and a lot of that has to do with how we were raised.
Exactly.
And how our parents
talk to us.
Handled things when we would make a mistake.
Yeah, my mother was very encouraging, very positive, and all of my family was. Even though my grandparents survived Auschwitz, they still were positive
people. All right, so when we come back, we will learn the final 2 things that successful people do differently and discuss things further here on Voluntary Values.
Ooh.
You're listening to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And Serena.
And we've been talking about the 12 things that successful people do differently and sort of getting sidetracked discussing the ones that we do wrong. Not that any of us are not successful, because we're all successful in our own way.
That's right.
Success does not mean that you have millions in the bank and a 15-car garage.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's what
society would say that success is.
Right.
Right.
That's what TV tells you success is, but that's not really what success is for everyone.
In my opinion, success is being able to sustain myself and get my bills paid and maintain some level of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's important.
Well, contentment, which I think a lot of people get happiness confused with being content with your life.
Mm.
You're not always going to be happy, because happy is like one of those things. You're not always going to be sad. It's the opposite of sad. Happy and sad are opposites.
Right.
So you're not sad all the time. So you obviously cannot be happy all of the time either, but you can be content with your life and the way that it is and the way that it's going. And if you're not content with the way that your life is working, then change it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that you are content,
right.
so that you can get to that, because being content leads you to being happier.
Right. That's why I said general. Some level of happiness.
Yeah, noticing what's
not
positive in your life.
Not to beat the semantics bush, but
right.
You know, I just feel like some people don't understand what happy and content, how they're different.
Right.
So, what are the last two things that successful people do?
Okay. Well, I'm actually going to just reread. So in case anybody just did join us, they can actually hear all 12. 12 things successful people do differently. They create and pursue smart goals. They take decisive and immediate action. They focus on being productive, not being busy. They make logical, informed decisions. They avoid the trap of trying to make things perfect. They work outside of their comfort zone. They keep things simple. They focus on making small, continuous improvements. They measure and track their progress. They maintain positive outlook as they learn from their mistakes. And the last two things that we have not discussed yet that successful people do differently. Number 11, they spend time with the right people.
Ah.
I think that's something that we all try to do.
Yeah, that's a very key thing, I believe, is spending the right time, you know, your time with the right kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, because I certainly don't want to spend time with, you know, the Debbie Downers.
No. And you don't want to spend time with people who don't feel like their life has any significance either. Like, you have so many people who feel like liking themselves or something is a crime.
Now,
it's really depressing.
Can we go back to the first goal real quick? Can you tell me if where it says that successful people set SMART goals, is that SMART capitalized?
S-M-A-R-T? SMART, yeah, it actually has, you know, the period after each letter.
I'm just going to read out what that means. It's an actual acronym that means specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely goals.
I am glad you read that off, because I just thought whoever made this image, because I'm actually reading this from, you know, an image that mm-hmm. was shared around Facebook. I just thought they put periods after things because it looked smart.
No, it's an actual it's an actual way to have SMART goals.
Okay.
So I just wasn't sure if anyone out there realized that or not, but that's something that I use when I set goals. I use the SMART goal setting program to set my own goals.
So that means that successful people do not wait for the state to state their success rate.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not waiting for people to tell them that they're successful.
Right. And going back to spending time with the right people, that means if your relatives are not adding benefit to your life, try to avoid them, because, you know, they're doing nothing but like sucking the happiness from your life.
And maybe if they see you being happy, they'll change something in themselves. I mean, they're trying to make you change, or they're being negative. You know, you don't
right.
need it.
A lot of people in my family were not happy with me that I moved to New Hampshire. And one specific member of my family refuses to talk to me now that I live in New Hampshire, since I moved so far away.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to make my own life what mm-hmm. I want it to be, and I'm not beholden. And I think that a lot of people get caught up in what other people think is more important for them instead of what is important to them.
Right, and why can't they
and
show what success
selfish
they
selfish people. How can you be selfish if you're going after what makes you happy as a person? How is that
ridiculous.
Selfish?
Right, and this leads into the final thing that successful people do differently. They maintain balance in their life.
Very important.
Oh,
very,
yes.
Very important thing to do.
Very important. And we have a caller. This is Alma from Arizona.
Hi!
And Alma is actually a wonderful activist.
Woohoo!
She runs the Agorist Marketplace website and Facebook group. And I am not sure if she actually has a physical marketplace or not. Alma, thank you for joining Voluntary Values.
Welcome, Alma.
Hi, you guys. How are you?
We're doing good.
Fantastic.
I just went on Facebook and saw the notice to call in. So just seriously, like 1 second ago, and I'm like, I look at my watch and I'm like, I think it's about that time over there.
Yes, perfect timing.
It is that time over here. And you are out in Arizona doing some really great activist things. Tell us about some of those. And you're somewhat successful at your activism, correct?
I'm working on it. Well, Agorist Marketplace, I started, was a website that I created for agorists to come and list themselves for free to connect with other agorists.
Nice.
Basically, it's as simple as that. So if you are an agorist or you have something that you make at home or you sell and you accept alternative currencies to FRNs, you can list yourself for free on my website.
Okay, and for anyone that's listening that is not familiar with what agorism is or what an agorist is, could you define that real quickly?
Well, the basic definition, how I describe it, would just be someone that has a business that is state-free, so and someone that accepts alternative currencies to Federal Reserve notes. Both of those things is what agorism means to me.
Right, so it's in the gray market. It's not the white market, and it's not the black market. It's the gray market.
You know, it's whatever market you're at the time, whatever color you want to call it. It doesn't even think it matters anymore. I mean, there's the free market. And then I hear all these anarchists talking about, oh, I'm sick of the free market. And I'm like, what do you mean you're sick of the free market? I don't even know what that means, because, you know, the only free markets I've ever been to are at Pork Fest, Libertopia, and, you know, the Jackalope Freedom Festival.
Nice.
So,
well, and to some extent, the Freedom Summit that's put on by Ernie Hancock and Freedom's Phoenix, there's a good bit of free market that goes on there.
Well, it's always been like a conference-type environment. You know, you're an exhibitor, and you have to pay for an exhibitor space, which is similar to most festivals. But I came up with the idea to have a festival where there are no registration fees, there are no camping fees.
Wow.
There are no vendor fees. And we had our first successful festival up in Northern Arizona at the beginning of August.
I wanted to go to that.
We had about 75 people turn out camping for 3 days. Some of them came earlier. Some of them stayed longer.
Now, what festival was that, Alma? Was that the Jackalope Festival?
Yeah, the Jackalope Freedom Festival.
Nice.
And that was the festival that you were wanted to originally call Pork West. And then... Alma,
Copy Left or anti-copyright through the Free State Project movement.
Alma.
So, you know, it's fun when you're coming up with a new idea just to poke a little fun, and it definitely got conversation.
Hey, Alma, can you hold on for a minute? We've got a
hold to the next
commercial's coming up.
This is Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
And this is Serena.
And the last segment, we were talking with the lovely and wonderful Alma Summer from Arizona. Alma heads up the Agorist Marketplace and organized possibly the first ever totally free libertarian festival in Northern Arizona, the Jackalope Freedom Fest.
Woohoo!
I still think you should have...
Whatever you want to call it.
I still think you should have had the javelina as the mascot, and then you could have called it pork with a K and totally got around the man with flashing his shiny badge out here.
If you want to promote the Jackalope Freedom Festival with a javelina as the mascot and call it the Javelina Festival... And as long as you're promoting everybody to come to the same festival, like where the same location on the same date is, I don't care what you do.
You're awesome.
Whatever
that is so cool.
To promote the idea of freedom, then go ahead and do it, you know? And the Free State is what inspired me to do something like this. But it was really at Libertopia last year when I realized exactly what I wanted to do. And the longest part was finding a the perfect location.
Mm.
But when we did it, you know, it's right around when school's starting, so a lot of people aren't camping that weekend. So, I mean, it was pretty open out there. There weren't a lot of people up there. And
now, was this held on public property or private property?
It's national forest land.
National forest. Okay.
Hmm.
So that's.
So it's just like a rainbow gathering type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you just
nice.
Pick a place, pick a time, and everybody goes up there. But a rainbow gathering, they're more of a free or whatever market where they just more exchange and trade. But in our type of society and the way things are going right now, you need to make a living to pay for yourself unless you're seriously completely self-sustainable living out in the woods and
right.
you can do it all yourself, which
right.
is hard. And a lot of people like to be around other people and they like to be in market situations and they like to make a living for themselves.
It's, yep.
It makes you feel successful. So
and
I like that type of environment.
The Agorist Marketplace, is that simply I don't mean to say the word simply as in like this is the only thing it does, but is it pretty much a website only for helping promote people with agorist businesses, or is there more to it than that?
Well, every time I go to a festival, I'm Agorist Marketplace, and whatever gear I've made over the last year at the Freedom Phoenix Workshop, if I've made Stop Wars t-shirts or Agorist Marketplace t-shirts or whatever we've created there, and sometimes Shelton and I will go in and we'll help each other and we'll make deals and we'll promote each other and help each other in that way. But, yeah, whenever I go to a Freedom Festival, and at the Jackalope Freedom Festival, I actually made corn dogs. I made
nice.
Probably about 60 corn dogs at the Jackalope Freedom Festival. So I made like $118 making
nice.
Those. And that, you know, was something different. But food is really what you want to do at these festivals because
right.
you will always make money.
Yeah.
Now, does the Agorist Marketplace... go ahead.
I'm sorry, Daryl. I just want to tell you something real quick. I talked to Sky, who is the organizer of Livertopia, and he has an idea to charge agorists or vendors $100 for an area in a special agorist marketplace vending area, and you actually get two passes to the festival
wow.
with that. So instead of paying the $200 exhibitor fee, you can pay $100, and there's only going to be like a limited number of spaces, maybe like 6 or 10 different vendors or agorists, but he has brought this opportunity up for people, and he's really excited about it, and he wants the agorist marketplace all over this area. So I'm really excited about that, and it's definitely inspired me to go out and promote that festival more and get more people vending there.
Now, is the agorist marketplace doing anything special for Agorism Day that is tomorrow?
Know it was tomorrow, but I did see somebody Jillian from Stateless Sweets posted mm-hmm. something about it, and I promoted her special. So if there are any agorists that have a special for Agorism Day, let me know, and I'll post it for you on the page, and I'll post it for you wherever you want and on the website. And I'm
nice.
Also right now taking trades and exchanges for advertisement on the website.
Nice.
Excellent.
Anything else you would like to add, Alma?
I think that's about it. I'm sorry I've talked your guys' ear off. I kind of got to run, though, now. I'm going to look at some houses.
All right. Well, good
thanks
luck with that.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so Agorism Day is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
And as Alma said, Stateless Sweets is running a special.
FPP is running a special.
What's the special that Stateless Sweets has?
Stateless Sweets is running a special. Purchase anything from the menu and get a quarter pound of candy with your order, your choice, for free. Does not apply to sampler purchases and limited to a quarter pound of free candy per order. Any purchases made in Bitcoin will automatically be upgraded to a half pound of candy of your choice for free. The special will run from today, which was
Saturday.
She posted that Saturday. So from Saturday until the end of Tuesday.
And FPP, which is Free Press Publications, formerly Free Patriot Press, is having a Agorist Day celebration tomorrow. Everything will be 10% off. And as always, free shipping anywhere in the U.S. or to Canada.
Nice.
You can pay using the regular online payment company that I will not name. You can use bitcoins, or if you would like to use silver, gold, copper. If you want to send me a baby penguin in exchange for some books, I will work something out with you. Just as you're going through the checkout, there's an option for other. Send me an email.
Cool.
And we can work out. I've always wanted a baby penguin because they're cute. And
yeah,
I'm
they are cute. But Serena, what are you going to be doing for Agorism Day tomorrow?
I probably am going to get rid of some lip balms from my Loverly skincare.
Nice.
And
her lip balm is fantastic. If you've never used it before, I love it.
And let's see, my Serene Love pieces, which right now are just necklaces finger knitted by me and stuff like that, and soon will be other jewelry. I'm probably going to pair it with some lip balm.
Nice.
Like some soaps to go with the lovely jewelry or the candies, or you just want to relax in a bath while reading a book, my friend Ann Olerup from Annie's Homestead has some lovely peace and freedom soaps.
Excellent. Peace and freedom soap.
I actually got some specially made with a sea breeze scent.
Wonderful.
And they are slightly tie-dyed. So she has a couple of those available on special order. So go to annieshomestead.com.
Well, if you go to the Agorism Day event on Facebook, and I'm sure you can just put it in the search engine up there at the top, Agorism Day, that's A-G-O-R-I-S-M Day, if you're unfamiliar with the word, then there's a great description of what agorism is, a more like textbook definition, dictionary definition of what agorism is. I think you got basically mine and Alma's kind of generalized version of how we explain it to people. But I also wanted to give out another event that's happening tomorrow.
The websites again. Stateless Suites is statelesssuites.com.
I believe it is statelesssuites.com. And Agorist Marketplace is agoristmarketplace.com.
FPP is fpp.cc. It's not .com, it's .cc, as in Creative Commons.
Nice. So on Tuesday, there's a call flood for Adamo Freeman, who most of you are probably aware that he has been incarcerated on three felony counts of wiretapping. So on August 23rd, a motion was submitted by Brandon Ross that points out that Adamo was incorrectly charged and thus should be free pending appeal. Thus far, the court has yet to act. So
based on the actual wording of the New Hampshire wiretapping law,
right?
Because Adamo was the one that actually filmed and recorded the conversation that he was a party to, technically, he only committed a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Right, instead of a felony. So he shouldn't actually have been charged. So those felony convictions should be withdrawn.
Right. And early last month, or was about mid-month, one of the subcommittees for the New Hampshire State House had a hearing to discuss modifying the wiretapping law. Roughly a dozen activists showed up.
Yeah.
The other people were either state legislators or people in support of stiffening wiretapping. I threatened to wiretap 424 people if they don't change this. And all 424 the legislators.
Well, join us on Tuesday to call Flood Manchester, Michael Valentin, the prosecutor, Kenneth Brown, the judge. Let's call Flood these people and make sure that they are aware that Adamo should be free.
And this